Far off, you're not distant, you're not repulsed, God, you're not disgusted with us, you just want to be close to us, Jesus. I can't even fathom that, Lord, but you want to be close to us, Jesus. And I thank you that you want to be near us, you want to be right next to us, God. Lord, just thank you for this morning, Lord, and what you'll do in our hearts, God, that from this place of communion, from this place of the cross, the bedrock of our faith, Jesus, that we can hear from heaven this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen, amen. You can stay down here if you want, or thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I not get all there. Thank you, Lord. How does everyone feel now? Good? Even if you didn't before, even if we didn't have communion, God is faithful. But thank you, Jesus. Well, I was asked to share. I wouldn't call it preaching, but I was asked to preach, but we'll see what happens. But I was asked to share, preach before the team left. Which I think Troy was saying last week how he had a dream. Unfortunately, I didn't have a dream. I didn't have any warning or anything like that other than would you like to share? And so the best thing I could say was, I am the Lord's servant. do with me like, you know, Mary, with, although that was a different scenario altogether. She carried a baby for 9 months, and he was the Messiah of the world. So, you know, this is really okay. This is really okay, Jamie. But that was really my response. Okay, I'm your servant, Lord. And so the reason, I don't mean to make light of preaching, because I could have just kept singing, because that's who I am and that's who I'm born to be. But there are other things I guess the Lord's doing too. But it's just, it's easier. No, I wouldn't say easy. You know, you always rely on the Lord, but it's fun. It's, I guess easy is the word. Christy can attest to this. You know, just singing out and having that expression be just come forth easily, and it's fun and it's enjoyable and it's what I love. And so I told Lawrence, I was like, well, I asked the pastors if I could just sing the message, but they said that wouldn't really work. So that's why we did have to finish somewhere, you know, with this. The worship continues. It's the same. It's all worship. So thank you, Lord, for that. But there's been things on my heart, the things that the Lord's been doing on my heart, and some personal things that have been going on in my life, in Mike's life, and if I share any of that, just know that it's from a place of this is where I am, this is what God's doing, and he's good, and he's been really faithful to us, and I believe it's what he's been doing in our body as well. If you really pay attention to some of the messages that are given and a lot of the things that are spoken and imparted from the front and through worship, a lot of it in this season has been about waking up. It's been about answering Jesus when he calls our name, you know, especially if we've been walking with him for a long time. I just believe that he's been calling us. He's calling our names, and he wants to know who will answer when I call your name, who will lock eyes with my gaze, you know. And that's been my prayer in my life, is that, Lord, I want to be found by you. I want to be found by you. I want to be found, and I want your gaze to meet my gaze, that when you say my name, when you call out to me, God, I want my eyes to be ready and looking right at your eyes. I recently listened to Pastor Jose's message from the Iris After Hours. The email was sent out to all of you with the YouTube video, and Iris Global is a ministry that he's connected with. He's a pastor and overseer of several churches in Mozambique, several thousand churches, and yeah. That's a big deal. He's a really important guy, but extremely, extremely humble man. And I'm not putting you on the spot, but I actually do want to know, how many of you watched that video? Okay, two, three. Awesome. So three of you know what I'm talking about, and the rest of you are going to be left with a cliffhanger. You really need to watch this, because, and PMP mentioned, because I'm a really curious person, sometimes to a fault, and I have to be careful, but I'm a very curious person, and I'm very, like, when somebody says something, I don't want to miss anything. And so when she said, you know, don't go to the end, but watch all the way until the end, you know, Peter, you watched it too, that's four people, I'm not taking, you know, but watch all the way till the end, and I was so curious about that, I watched it, and oh my gosh, I saw something I've never seen before. Now you're all wondering. Yep, I'm not going to tell you what happened either, but it wrecked me, and I'm sure it wrecked those of you that watched it, completely in awe of God. And if I can just, something that really shook me as I heard Pastor Jose sharing and speaking some things, one of the things that he said, you know, he's an African man, he's in Mozambique, he doesn't necessarily have all the resources that we do, he doesn't live in a comfy life as we know it anyways, but you know, he is a simple African man that loves Jesus, and he wants to see Africa changed, he wants to see people changed, he wants to see the youth changed, and I admire him. I didn't always see that in this man. And if you don't know who Pastor Jose is, for some of you that are new trying to see, most of you and all of you do. I didn't really know that about him at first. My first time to Mozambique, Africa was in 2008. Have fun. My first time to Africa in Mozambique, you know, I was just getting to know him, just getting to understand the ministry, how we do ministry, how we go out into the bush, how we share the gospel. And wow, they're army crawlers. Isn't that special? Thank you, Jordana. But over the years, I've gotten to see where he purchased land, where he wants to do a compound or a structure where it would be an education center, a learning center, a Bible center, a training center for kids who play soccer, and doing other projects there as well. I got to see that land when it was bare, and then I got to see that land when there was pineapples growing there, and then I got to see that land when there was cassava growing. Then I got to see, and this is in person, not just up here, and, you know, being there in person is a whole nother story, but I got to see the well being dug. I got to see water come out of that well, and I got to get wet in that water that was from that well, that was a promise from the Lord. And then I got to see the structure being built for the church that he is going to have there in Palmyra. And so over the years, my perspective has really changed of what it looks like to really be, to really count the cost, because this man, this African man who God totally, you really have to listen to it, because he shares a lot of his testimony. There's a lot of things I did not know about him, and it was really amazing, really intriguing, and very inspiring, and very, touched me very deeply. Because I've been going overseas all these years, and I, you know, don't know him really, really personally. Like, we're not, like, best friends, but, you know, I see him as another spiritual father in a way, as, you know, someone who can speak into my life. And but just a whole nother side of him that I'm just like, wow. And one of the words he said, they ask four questions at the end, I guess, at these Iris After Hours video clips that they do. And one of the questions that they asked, it was so funny. It's like, if this were me, I'll tell you the four questions. The first question was, what's your favorite movie? And I'll tell you this part. This is at the end, but I'll only tell you this part. They ask him what his favorite movie is. And he says, Stop for the One. Okay, my favorite movie is like Pride and Prejudice, you know? Like, I'm just like, okay. But there's no shame. I can have a favorite. I can like Pride and Prejudice. It's great. But he's, you know, he just seeing his heart, he was really simple, really honest. He was not impressing anybody. And his honest answer was, Stop for the One. And then they asked him the second one, the second question, which I believe was, what was it? Oh, what? No, what's your favorite? So there was four questions that I can't remember the second one. The third one was, what's your favorite sound? And I was like, ooh, this is really cool. And he was confused at first, and the gentleman explained. So he loves the sound of the ocean, and, you know, it was really cool. And then the last question that they asked him was, when you meet Jesus, when you come face to face with Jesus, you've walked this life, and you know, you're face to face with your Maker, what do you want to hear him say? And so he just says, well, I'll be happy to hear well done. and he goes on, and he shares about how he wants his life to be wasted. He says, I feel I have to be wasted. I feel, what does he say? I feel I have to be wasted. I have to spend myself. I don't care about what's in my pocket. I want to see somebody where they should be, doing the will of God. Thank you.
Sure, yeah.
I'm so desperate. I want to see God do something in Africa. And just at that point, you have to watch it, though. You have to watch him talk about it. just at that point, I'm just completely wrecked and in awe once again, because that message never gets old. The message of counting the cost, denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following Jesus never gets old for me. I live for that. Like, I remember when I was like 12 or 13 at a youth group. I was already saved at this point, but they were doing an altar call, and I was like ferocious, like, let me get them. I mean, I forgot a lot of the stuff that I used to do in high school, like bringing my Bible to school. And like, I remember this, there was an atheist that I was like determined to see him turn to the Lord. And I forgot about a lot of that stuff. But I remember this youth group time, and they were doing an altar call, and a lot of it had to do with personal issues, you know, going up front and receiving prayer for different things. And I went up, and I'm just bawling my eyes out. Nobody knew why I was bawling. I think some of them were a little bit concerned, actually. But I was just weeping before the Lord. And I remember this, the older youth group leader, one of them came up to me, and he laid his hand on me, and he wanted to pray for me. And he asked me, you know, what I needed prayer for. And I was so desperate to be a bold witness for Jesus. I just was crying. I said, I just want to be bold. I just want to be a bold witness. I want to go into my school, and I want to be God's hands and his feet. I want to shine for him. I don't want to be afraid. I want to share who Jesus is. There are people that need him. And I think he was a little taken back by that, and he prayed for me. But there was such, at that time, learning the Lord and learning my identity in Christ, I was so like, oh, if only I could be more filled with the Spirit, more on fire for him. It was what I was crying out for. So that message never gets old to me. And I think it's who we are. It's being a disciple. It's about what being a disciple actually looks like. It's how Jesus actually defines success. Following him, taking up your cross, denying yourself, take up your cross, and following Jesus. Those three things. And following after him. And one of the things I think that he's doing more in my life, in this season anyways, is that in that cry of my heart that the Lord's placed, and he's placed in all of us here, this is why I'm at Frontline. I mean, honestly, just by a raise of hands, how many of you guys would have ever expected you would end up in a place like this? Peter, I'm so glad you did, Peter, but some of you are just like, nope. But, I mean, look around. When I walked into this place 11 years ago and a couple of months, the first two people, oh, she's not in here. Deanne, she's not in here. Man, Deanne is the reason that I'm actually here, because she met somebody at a Hall of Fame parade. I was in high school. I was a senior in high school, and I was attending church with my parents where they felt led to go at that time. And I was really hungry. I was really, really hungry for more. And I was ready to sign me up for any mission trip. I'm going somewhere, Mom and Dad. Like, let me go somewhere. I wanted to go to Teen Mania. I wanted to go to Global Missions. I wanted to go somewhere, you know. So then... This will remain nameless. I wanted to go to a specific college, which probably the best that I didn't go there. It was a Christian college. But regardless, I came into Frontline. You know, Deanne invited a friend of mine who invited me, and she said, you know, come to this worship time on Sunday night. I remember it was August of 2006. And, you know, another friend of mine will come, and I'm like, yes, please, I'll come with you. Had no idea. This is actually where I went to. I was living up in Malvern, going to church in Malvern or in Minerva. So a lot of that was up there, but I went to school and swam in high school down here. So a lot of my high school friends were down here. Family were in Canton and Maslin and everything. So I had no idea who Frontline Ministries International was. And then later, realizing all the connections and a lot of people that knew so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. But I came in those doors right there. And I remember distinctly the first two people to greet me were Deanne, who just came up to me and, like, hugged me. And I'm like, but, you know, I didn't have a problem with that. I liked, and I'm like, wow, she's really, you know, passionate and loving and welcoming. And And then Josh was the second person that came out, just bright smile on his face, came out and shook my hand, and then the rest of Frontline came right behind him, actually, to greet those, the three new people that came that night. There was still the Edge Bible study on Saturday evenings, and the church on Sunday mornings had not started yet, so I was part of the early years. I did go to the Goki Bible study at their house. So whenever they say that, I was there. But shortly after that, it all ended up here in this place. Actually, it was there for 2 years until it transitioned here, I remember. So I count myself in. I'm no spring chicken, people. No, actually, I'm like, I don't know what I am. I ask Mike sometimes, I'm like, how old am I again? I know I'm in older 20s, but I'm like, I know when I'm going to turn 30, though. I remember it's going to be in a year. It'll be in a year, 2019. Yes, a year in 3 months. I know that sounds weird, guys, but I'm married to him. That's Mike, and you all know him, but he's 7 years older than me, so I don't know what that makes me. Like, you're young. You're amazing. So anyways, I digress. I walked in, and Josh and Dan were the first people that greeted me. And I remember walking in, Christy was on the stage, Pastor Bill was on the stage, and they were leading worship. And I came in, and worship went on and on. I was okay with that. Like, I had not had that in a long time, actually, from some of the roots and places that I had grown up in. It had been a while since I'd been in that atmosphere of just the Spirit being free. Not that it's quenched in other places, but personally, in my experience, it wasn't necessarily the case in some of the places I had been prior to that, in the recent years of being 18, 17 years old. And so I came in, and the worship was just going, and I'm just, like, lost in all of it. I was so, like, Christy, oh my gosh, her voice is amazing. I remember those the first things, and I told her later, she's like, oh, thanks. She didn't think much of it. And I think she did, but just in the humility, you know, just like, yeah, I just sing for Jesus. And so just encountering different people, going on my first mission trip after that in 2007 with Carl, with Troy, with Rachel Larson, Nikki, and Andy, and boy, was that a hoot. I was very young then, and so they, and there was, I had a compadre with me, her name was Danny Kappel at the time, and so we had lots of fun, and I think that we were your daily entertainment. So it was a lot of fun, and but I just remember, not remember, it's still who we are. You know, if you look all around this room and you see the pictures, like, Jesus is glorified. But look, I mean, when you look around, does it ever capture you? Does it ever, like, cross your mind that these are the nations, these are people groups that God has entrusted us with? They're his children that we've been able to minister to. We've gone all over the world into different places that we have partnership with different ministries, and counting the cost has looked like something in this place, and it's looked like something for each of us individually. But one thing I believe the Lord has been speaking to me more recently is just about, it's about delight. It's about delighting in him. You can try to make yourself so busy. You can try to see how much I can say yes to things, or how on fire can I be? But it all actually means nothing if we don't understand the heart of the choice behind it. And that it's all about delight. It's all about the delight of our Father with us. It's not about what we do or what we don't do, or how many times we say yes, or how busy we can get, or how far away with our boundaries we can keep. You know, this is my comfortable little zone right here. Don't come in. But either way, the Lord is speaking to our hearts. It's like, where's your delight in me? Where's your faith in me? Where's your delight? Where's your trust in me? And so that's what I believe he's doing in us and is speaking to us in this season. And in that delight, are we living for the higher pleasures of him, of receiving him, getting to know him, getting to see the things he wants us to see, getting to do the things he calls us to do. Are we pleasure seekers for him, for ourselves, for other people? Where do we get our pleasure from, and who are we pleasing? Who is our aim? Who are we aiming and striving to please? Because if it's not the Lord, you know, then there's a place I believe the Lord wants us to bring us to where we're forgetting about delighting in him and trusting in our Father and denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following him. And the Lord, you know, I was praying out this out earlier where the Lord, he's such a conqueror. He's so beautiful in who he is and how he encounters us and how he's able to draw and invite us into a place of great surrender and lowliness and meekness where he conquers our hearts. He searches our hearts. He searches when we let him, when we allow him to. He comes in and he is a conqueror. He's a conqueror of our emotions. He's a conqueror of our life in a good way. In a good way, where he wants to come in and be the Lord of our life completely, have us totally there. It's not a vain thing to live wholeheartedly. It's not a vain thing to live abandonedly in love to the Lord. It's what he's called us to. And so I thought this was an interesting contrast in scripture where there's three specific scriptures actually, and so I am jumping ahead, Angie. First off, start with Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. And I thought this was an interesting contrast between two groups that Jesus had, let's just read it. Okay. So starting in verse 7, as they were going along the road, this is NASB, right? Okay. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever I go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me, to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And really quick, let me jump to, actually I'm backtracking, Luke 14, verse 25. And I like the title of this passage. It says, "The disciples are tested." Starting at verse 25, "Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned?" So first off, that word hate, that's strong, right? And so, I remember you and I talking about this in Mozambique. I just flashback. The word hate, which most of us I know probably know what this means, it's not an actual like hatred, but it's just in putting the interests of the kingdom first, our affections on Jesus first, because it even goes on to say, yes, and even his own life, does not even hate his own life, just meaning you who are not willing to put the interests of me, my kingdom and my purposes first in your life, you cannot be my disciple. You can't follow me, because it will require you to make a level of sacrifice. It will require you to say yes to me. It will require you to say no to other things, whether there's sin, specific sin, or whether it's things that some of you are in the Good or God class, which I've been reading a little bit of that book on my own because I wasn't able to do the class. But you know, some things that in our eyes seem good and seem right and fine, where the Lord is actually challenging us in those areas, where he's calling us to a higher place of pleasing him, seeking the higher pleasures of going after him, denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following Jesus. And so the contrast here is this. We go to Matthew 4, chapter 18. Oh, well, actually, really quick. Let's go to Matthew 4, 18. So remember in Luke 9, where these two guys come up and they say, "Lord, permit me first to go bury my father." And Jesus replies, you know, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." So here's the contrast. In Matthew 4, 18 through 22, those disciples, Simon and Peter. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Are you ready for this? Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Does that not, like, bother you a little bit? Like, okay. And they got to walk with Jesus. These were two men. Yeah. Did I give you more? No. Okay. Oh, it was the passage that I wanted down. But these two men became, they were men at first. They were not Jesus' disciples before this. They were doing their job. They were being fishermen. They were responsible people. And when Jesus came along, he's like, bam, come follow me. And immediately. Isn't that an interesting word that's in the Bible, immediately? Why not just say, and they followed him? There was no question, there was no doubt. Maybe we don't know what was going on in their minds, but it was pretty obvious that they said, okay, and we'll follow you. And they counted the cost and they left everything and they followed Jesus. But here's the reward. They got to walk with him. They got to be with him. They got to see things that otherwise those other two guys that Jesus encountered never got to see, or never, you know, their names aren't in the Bible. It's not that we're for fame or we want to be Jesus, you know, I want everyone to know about me, but the heart was just humility to follow this rabbi, to follow the Messiah and this prophet. And, you know, they thought it was going to be a revolution, but they found out much later that he was there to save the world, not just Israel. He was there to ransom the world from their sins. I would rather be that person to say, you know, immediately I answer to you, Jesus. So how does that look practically for our lives now? You know, Jesus isn't walking up and we're not fishing in a boat, you know, catching fish. We all have lives and we all have children. We all have marriages. And so I believe the Lord is defining what that looks like in immediately answering him and being found by him and locking with his eyes and saying, okay, I'll say yes, whatever it is, Jesus, I'll say yes to you. So my simple obedience is what he's looking for. He doesn't want a half-hearted bride. Think about yourself marrying somebody, and you're coming down the aisle to someone, or you're waiting for someone to come down that aisle. You do not want that person to be half-hearted or kind of, I may want to get married today, might not, you know. You want them to be fully in it, and I'm marrying this person. This is life, everything that goes with that. It's life. He doesn't want half-hearted discipleship, but full attention on him when he calls. And in Matthew 25, the scripture where it talks about the servants with their master, where he distributes talents to each of these servants, and what do they do with them? What is the two others invest, and then they multiply? And then the third servant buries them. He hides them. And so my prayer has been, Lord, I don't want to be like the unprofitable servant. And I love how Francis Chan coins this phrase of living life in light of eternity, that one day I'm going to be face to face with God. One day I'm going to meet my maker where, like Pastor just say, the question was, what do you want him to say to you? Well, I'll be happy if he says, well done. Like, and I can see his heart behind that. Like, I don't want to miss the mark. I don't want to, we're not here to strive. We're not here to perform for the Lord, but this is Jesus we're talking about. This is the Lord of my life. This is my Father. This is where I came from. I don't want to miss it. I want to hear his voice clearly, and I want to follow him, and I want to pursue him in every area, not holding anything back. I don't want anything hidden from him. I want it all out, and I want to be raw and vulnerable with him, and just saying, yes, Jesus, whatever it takes, whatever it is, I'll follow you. If it's, you know, I've gone through this cycle in life where I'll say yes to him and then I plummet back again, and I go through this cycle and the rigmarole of sin and just my issues and my stuff. And the Lord's like, hey, listen, you know, I'll meet you where you are. All I need is your yes. And he says to take a step. That's the thing I love about Pastor Jose in another sense, where he takes a step. This is an African man who, he doesn't have all the money in the world. He doesn't have, like, libraries that he can go and look things up on how to build things, or he just doesn't have all that easily and readily available to him. And yet he takes steps, and yet he says yes to the Lord. The Lord asks him to do something that's impossible, and he says okay, because he trusts in the Lord, and the Lord is going to follow, see him through that. And so he's faithful to us. He's faithful to see us through those things, to just trust in him. Trust in him and follow me. Just trust and obey. If there are two things you can get out of this, is just trust and obey what God's saying. And listen to some of the things that have been released over Relentless Pursuit, and some of the things that Troy was saying about submission before the mission, not being asleep in the boat. Different contrast between Jonah, who the Lord was calling to do something very specific. He needed his anointing, he needed his prophetic ability, he needed him to go and speak to the people of Nineveh. And then you have Jesus, who's asleep in complete rest and peace. It's a little different. But he was calling Jonah to wake up. Wake up. He didn't wake up. and you know, he went through what he did, but I'm sure he came out of that experience thinking, you know, never again, or it was worth it. Lord, I want to listen and hear your voice strongly that I may obey you. And sometimes I think in our human minds, I do this. I'm quick to rationalize and I'm quick to analyze what God's saying, and we can be masters of procrastination and masters of justification. So what I mean by procrastination is, well, this is going on in my life right now. This is my position. These are my circumstances. So I think I can do this much, and I'll give the Lord that much. But that should be good, you know. And that's our rationalization. That's our a little bit of procrastination and our justifying. Well, I am giving to the Lord. I am following him. But he's saying, no, no, no. I want all of you. I want all of you. And I need all of you, and I'm entrusting you with things that I'm not asking somebody else to do. I'm asking you. You know, he's asking you. And if we put the hand up, the Lord will pass it on to somebody else. He will. And that to me is a fearful thing. I remember this relates. I remember coming home. I remember this summer, I found out that our neighbors moved. And they were Muslim neighbors. Do you know how many times I talked to them? Not one time. They lived adjacent from our house. Their kids were always outside, and they were Muslim. I mean, I knew they were Muslim. They were from Lebanon. And I just realized that when they moved, when they were deciding to move, I was like, oh Lord, I gotta get over there. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly not to bring shame or not to bring condemnation. But he said, you know, he was saying to me, they lived here for 5 years. What were you doing? I was serving you. I was going to the nations. I was sharing with other Muslim people. but they lived 2 minutes from your, or 30 seconds from your house. You don't have to raise $300, $3,000 to go on a plane for this one, sweetie. And so it is funny, but it's like, the Lord, they moved and they were gone. I don't even know their names. Like, what the heck happened? It was just like, poof. You know where James 4:14, where it says life is a vapor? Like, it's here and then it's gone. It was like that. It's like they were there. Now they're gone. And the Lord spoke to me. There was no fear of, like, their salvation or anything. But he did say to me, he said, I'm entrusting them to somebody else. They're gone. And some of you might be wondering, like, how could, they're probably just moving and who really knows. But I tell you, I broke down after that. I'm like, Lord, never again. Never again. You entrusted them to me. You're entrusting them, you know. What has he entrusted us with? What time, what with your finances, with the resources that you have, with your gifts, with your abilities. He's asking you, he's asking each of us for something specific. And I believe for some of us, he's been knocking on our door and he's saying, I need you to be faithful to me. I need you to answer my call. I need you to lock my eyes and see what I'm seeing, what I'm doing. It's not over here where you think it is. The stuff that you're doing is good for me, but I need you here. And it will require a level of sacrifice. It will. So stop procrastinating. Don't pontificate. Don't justify your circumstances. Just say okay and yes to me and trust me. Trust and obey. And it'll be okay. Trust and obey and it'll be okay. It's true, actually. But I believe the Lord's speaking to us and he's asking us to remember. He's asking us to remember the vows of our youth, the things where we started, the foundations that he's laid in our life and where we began, regardless of where we are right now, regardless of what's going on, and regardless of our circumstances. Some of you guys don't know this, but a couple of weeks ago, Mike and I found out that we were pregnant. And so it was a Monday. It was right after Relentless Pursuit. And so we were very excited, and we were very much looking forward to this next pregnancy, this next child that would be coming along the way. And so a couple of days after that, I experienced some symptoms. I don't mean to make light of this, but it was my body, so... but I experienced some symptoms that were negative for pregnancy that aren't good. There are things you don't want to see happen, and it leads to a miscarriage. And so in the midst of that, it's like, I just remember waking up in the morning where it started, because I've had I had one miscarriage in 2013, and then I had an ectopic pregnancy a year ago where they were cells at the moment. It was life growing, but it was not viable. I mean, it's in the tube, and if my tube were to rupture, you know, so that needed to be, they took out my right fallopian tube, and so this time around, you know, this is familiar to me, so it wasn't like a surprise, but at the same time, I just remember just the first thing the Lord say to me as I woke up and just thought, oh, why, Lord? And I just heard him speak really softly to me, just whisper to me. He said, it's going to be okay. Just trust in me. Just trust in me. Listen to me. And that day, things got a little more, you know, intense in my body, and it was looking a certain way, and so we were still holding on and still standing for life, is because that's what faith is, right? You're standing for life in the midst of what doesn't look like life, and you still trust the Lord. And so I will always do that, and will forever do that. And so the Lord's, you know, just gives us peace, like, it's okay. Just trust me, it'll be okay. And so I just remember that day, though, out of all the different things that like Mike and I have gone through with Gabriel in the last 4 years of saying yes to Jesus, and in the midst of like, kill me now. Like, I want to be face to face with you, Lord. I want to be in heaven now, just because some of the stuff that we'd been through, some of the circumstances are very difficult. They're very, they're just hard to walk through. And I know some of you know what that's like, and you have similar stories of yourself, but those stories turn into testimonies. And so we did miscarry, and, but through that, and the week after that, I thought that part was actually, like there was a lot of peace in my heart. And I remember Saturday evening, because it happened on a Saturday. Saturday evening, I just remember we were on the phone with Pastor Mary Pat. And I just remember when she was praying, I just felt like Jesus was like right in front of me. You ever feel like where he's so close to you and he's in his presence is so close, or you don't know what to do, like you could vomit, you could cry, you could like fall flat on your face, you could shake. It's like, it felt like that, and I've encountered him like that before, but this encounter was just like, I felt his love, and it was like romantic. It was romantic love, like in the middle of this going on, and he's just oozy goozy love pursuing my heart, just saying, just look at me through this mess and through this little trial. You know, it's okay. Trust me. I've got great things in store for you. I just still say yes to me. Still trust me. Don't doubt me. Don't doubt my ways. Don't fall into unbelief. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope in me. And so I just remember, like, just sitting there and he just getting so close to me. And I was like, yeah. Oh, yes, Lord, forever. I can say yes to this forever. And so that, for me, was actually pretty, I don't want to say the word easy, because I just feel like that's a slap in his face. It was just, there was a lot of grace. There was a lot of grace. That's what it is. Thank you, Lord. It was a lot of grace. And, but the weeks, you know, the couple of days after that, there was just more things coming up, with Mike's mom and other family members, and even with Mike and I personally, actually. And so in the midst of that, even in the midst of that, the Lord is just saying, like, lay it all down. Just trust and obey. Like, don't allow your circumstances, don't allow these things to you know, cause questioning in your heart and bring you further away from me. Just trust in me. Follow me. Obey my voice. Obey my voice and obey what I'm speaking to you. And some really cool things happened in that week at the same time. And the joy that came out of that was just like, I couldn't have done that. The joy that the Lord gave and produced through that, it's like, there's just no way. That is totally the Lord. It's totally Holy Spirit. And the peace and the greater trust and the greater faith, I'm like, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I'll follow you. I'll listen to your voice. You're good, Lord. You're good. So even for some of us who you might think it's impossible, but like, I have this happening, and I have, and this came up again, and we might seem like it's hard to say yes to him. It's hard to listen to him, where I just feel like all this stuff is constantly happening around me. Well, one, you're not meant to carry those burdens alone. Look around you. Like, look at the people in this place that are here for you. I'm serious. Like, all of us that are here, we're here to cover each other. Yeah, doesn't that feel good, doesn't it? Look who's around you. We're here for each other. We're here to cover each other. We're here to support one another. And so that's my prayer, is that we see that, and that we're also encouraging and challenging one another in that as well. The last thing, yeah. So as we wrap up, I just want to bring a challenge. I want to, none of us are perfect, and like none of us have arrived. And but God's grace is so good. His grace is so available and so ready for us. Don't be afraid. He's just saying, beloved, don't be afraid. Because if you want to carve it down to like the thing that holds us back, it's like it's this fear of we don't really know who our Father is, or we're choosing not to believe it. Where our eyes have seen the goodness of the Lord and the land of the, you know, where we've experienced him, we're forgetting, or we have yet to find out. And he's just saying, just come, child, just come into me, trust and obey, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, be my disciple. Can you imagine the things that Andrew and Peter saw? They got to see and the things that Jesus spoke to them intimately with just the 12 disciples. Like, man. But it's the same for us. I'm his disciple, and he's here to speak to us. He's here to speak to our hearts and take us deeper into a deeper place of intimacy with him, where through difficult things where we feel like we're holding on by a thread, or where we're just like, whoa, yes, Lord. He's just saying, still, deeper still, lower still, just trust in me, obey me, love me, and lock your eyes with my eyes. And the scripture that I love, it's a Romans 11, the very end of 11. And you know, I found this out after I put it down, that Pastor Joseo preached on this on Thursday night of Relentless Pursuit. Man, did he preach the heck out of that scripture, this scripture. But it touched me in such a deep place where, you know, that's what encounters with God are meant to do. It's meant to bring us closer to him, but it's meant to produce a deeper trust in him, a deeper place of resolve on the inside of us, that we can really trust him with our lives. We can really trust him with our children, with our marriage, with our with everything that we have, and that it's okay. It's okay to say yes, because he'll follow through and he'll provide the grace for us to walk that out. But in Romans 11, verse 33 through 36, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who was first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." So the things you want to hold back from him, they're his anyways. So stop saying no. But really, like, it's like, but I have this. Who gave it to you? You know, but this is going on, you know, and the Lord just, he's just saying, this is how I define success. This is how I define success in the kingdom, is to putting the interests of the kingdom first, and through personal things, deep personal things in our hearts, and in the simple obedience of answering his call when he says, go. You know what I mean? I don't know. Holy Spirit's going to have to tie all this together, because that went in a few different directions, but I'm trusting him for that. And I trust that he will touch your heart in the deep places where he can conquer us, where he can come in and show you his ways, and that looking at this life in view of eternity, like eternity, one day. But while I'm here, Lord, may my yes be yes, and may my no be no before you, Jesus, in all things, every thought in my will, Lord, in my will, in my emotions, in my thoughts. So why don't we stand and pray? So Lord, I'm not trying to be like anybody else, but let's put our hands out, receive from him. It's a way of like surrendering. It's something that activates your body with what your spirit is calling you to do. But anyways, Lord, I just thank you that that whatever it is you're speaking to each of us personally, that it will be heard. It will be heard, God. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. That whatever it is you're speaking to us personally, whatever part of our heart that you're tugging at or that you pinpointed today or that you, that it would be heard, Father, it would be received, Lord. Lord, we just remember the ways that you captivated our hearts. We remember the ways that you've drawn us into your love. That first glance of coming into union with you. This is about coming into union with you, God. A union unlike any other on earth, Jesus. Coming into union with you. God, cause us to remember those places where our yes was strong, Father. And wherever it's weakened or wherever it's become faint, God, Lord, that you would supply us the grace, Lord, to run after you with endurance, setting our gaze and our eyes on you, Father. Running this race that you've set for us, God. Denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following after you, Jesus. Lord, that we wouldn't be distracted by what's around us. We wouldn't be distracted by the things of this world and what seemingly pleases. Or we wouldn't be distracted by the seemingly good things, Father, but that we would be able to run after you wholeheartedly, God. Wholehearted, hot pursuit after you, Jesus. Where you're meeting, where you're waiting for us, where you're extending your arms out to us, Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would touch us deeply in the areas where it's been hard to trust you or where it's been difficult because of circumstances, and we've even just lost focus, God. Lost focus with you, Jesus. Lord, that you would just align us with your heart, align us with your Son and the work of the cross in our lives, God. Thank you for the work of the cross. Thank you for what it does, God. Thank you for what your blood has accomplished in our lives, God. We give you praise, Father, and we thank you, Jesus, for every way you have saved us, every way you have rescued us, God. Thank you, Jesus, from ourselves, from others, God, from our choices, Lord. I thank you for every way you have rescued us, God. Lord, and I thank you that you are drawing us in even closer now, deeper still into the heart of the Father, deeper still into the heart of the Father, Lord, where we can trust you, where we can climb up on your lap and know that we are safe and we are secure and that you've got all of this. And at the same time, in that place of rest, in that place where you're solidifying us as your sons and daughters, Lord, you're also saying, now, sweetie, now pick your things up, carry your cross, deny yourself, follow me, and run after me, and say yes to me. Don't say no, don't fall asleep. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Lord, I just thank you for the lies that are being dismantled, Father, off of our minds and off of our hearts, God, of not believing you, doubting you, God, because that'll keep us from where you're desiring us for us to be and go, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You're so good, Lord. I bless each person here, Father, and I thank you for the Spirit's work and what your Spirit longs to do on the inside of us, Lord, that we would just ponder these things in our heart, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that today is a new day, Lord. Today is a new day for us, wherever we are, Jesus. Wherever we are, it's a new day, God. It's a new day for us. Where we just extend our arms to you and we say, I surrender. I surrender all to you, God. I surrender all to you. All to you, Jesus. I surrender my job to you, God. I surrender my marriage to you, Lord. I surrender my children to you, Father. Lord, I surrender my circumstances to you, Jesus. Lord, I surrender all control to you, Father. I surrender all the fear to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that as we surrender, Father, Lord, you're just picking us up and you're dusting us off, God. You're cleansing us completely of all the things that hold us back, all the things that hold us tight into bondage, Father God. You're releasing us completely today, God. You're freeing us completely. You're freeing us completely, Lord. Where we can take a step, God. We can take steps, Lord, and trust in you. Trust in you, God. And I just see a picture of us saying yes to him, of individuals saying yes to him, and I just see this Lion of Judah behind that yes. Some of you guys think that yes is a small yes just from yourself, and it's like, my puny yes. But what you don't realize is that the Lion of Judah, that our Heavenly Father is behind that, and his yes is actually right behind it to support it. So I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for that picture, Lord, that where we feel like, I can't do it, I can't say yes, I can't follow through. The Lord's like, hey, I know you can't, but I'm here to back you up. I'm here to back you up. Thank you, Lord, for the grace. Thank you, Lord, for what you give us. Thank you, Father, for every promise, which is yes and amen, Lord. God, you're so good. You're so lovely. You're so beautiful. We love you and we honor you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you're officially released. If you need prayer, if there's something specific that's on your heart that you would like agreement with, you would like to come together with a brother or sister in Christ to pray and agree together before the Lord, there are leaders here, and I'm here, that are available for you. So bless you today as you go home, and the Ghana team arrives back on Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. There is still fire and wind, though, so that will be taking place as they fly into Cleveland, and their beloved ones pick them up and take them home. And we will have service a week from today where it's going to be amazing. They'll be sharing testimonies and we'll be imparting what they received and released over there. And so I encourage you to be here, excuse me, to be a part of that, and because we're a family and God likes to do things when we're together as a family. He doesn't want anybody left out. Amen? All right, bless you guys. Bye-bye.